Blog Talk Radio.
Every week and tell other people about the show. We're on from 7 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays on blogtalkradio.com. Again, I'm Catherine Resendez. Tonight I want to talk about hope. Holding on to hope. Never giving up. I remember someone very close to me, someone I loved very much, once told me, when I told him, as long as you're breathing, there is hope. Don't give up. I remember he looked down at me. He was standing over me as I was sitting, shook his finger in my face and told me, that's what I used to say. I used to believe that. He gave up hope. But as long as we're breathing, there is hope. Do you believe there's a God? I do. And God says in the Bible, in the scriptures, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He tells us that he will be with us wherever we go. if we are followers of God, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his children. If we live for him, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in him and trust in him, put our faith, our hope, and our trust in him, he can give us strength and endurance and help us through whatever we need to go through. He gives us a new start every day. Grace and favor. Grace and mercy and favor. I'd like to quote one of my favorite scriptures, which is found in Hebrews 4:16, where God talks about his grace and mercy, which should give us great hope. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And he tells us that he is always with us and he will always supply everything that we need. God will not give us everything we want because many of the things that we want are not good for us, and he knows what's best for us. Since he is God, he's the creator, he made all of us. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the one and only true, resurrected and living God, and that he created everyone and everything. So he knows everything there is to know about us and knows what we need before we need it. Again, he promises to give us everything we need. He gives us food, shelter, and clothing. He will give us some of the things that we want, but not everything. Again, he knows what's best. And I do believe there is always hope, as long as we are breathing. Once we pass from this life, then I do believe all hope is gone. God gives us free will to do what we want in this life. And we can either choose to live for him or not. If we choose to live for him, then we can be assured that we will be with him for all eternity in heaven. And if not, we will be separated from him from all eternity. I do believe that. And I know that God tells us he will help us no matter what's going on in our lives. He is our strength and our refuge. He tells us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." He tells us that he has the peace that we need, the peace that only Jesus Christ can give. And in Psalm 29:11, he tells us, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." And when we're worried, he tells us that we should give our worries to him because he cares for us. We're not to hold on to it. He knows that we're going to worry. We're only human, and he made us, so he knows all of that. But he tells us when we are so worried about things and just really burdened down under the load of our worries, he tells us to come to him and he will give us rest. In Matthew 11:28-29, if you have a Bible, I hope you read through the scriptures and look for those places where you can find hope and encouragement from the Lord. Read Matthew 11:28-29. If you're really overwhelmed with worries, he tells us we need to renew our minds in him, in the Lord God. Exchange the worries for the rest that we can get only from him. If you don't have a Bible, I hope you'll get one soon. I'm going to be reading from the Bible later, and I would like people to follow along. I invite you to follow along if you would like to. And I really believe the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, that it is true, and that there are no errors in it. I'm not an expert on the Bible. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a pastor. Don't claim to be. I'm just an average person who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to share his word as he tells us to do, to tell other people about Jesus so they too can be saved, because we cannot get to heaven on our own. Jesus is the only way. I truly believe that, and he calls all of us who are believers to help spread the good news of the gospel to other people who are hurting and need it. people who are suffering, and many who are not suffering physically or emotionally, and who may have great wealth and not have any financial problems, may not have health problems, but they are lost in the sense that they don't know the Lord. Those that do not know the Lord, they are lost, and they will be separated from the Lord for all eternity unless they make a change, unless they know about Him, unless they choose to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and follow Him. I realize that there are many people who believe that there are other gods or believe that all religions worship the same God. I encourage you to read the Bible and see what God says in the Bible, because I do believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I hope you'll tell other people about it, which is what the Lord calls us to do. Let me read from you. Let me go to Matthew 11, 28 and 29, and share with you what the Lord says there. So Matthew 11, 28 and 29, if you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along. And let me just say a short prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to please empty us of ourselves and fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, your love, your peace, and your joy, so that there's no place left in us for Satan, so that we cannot give place to the devil. Again, Lord, I'm asking you to please help us understand your Holy Scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. All right, again here, this is Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, and Jesus says here, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is telling us to unload all the worries, all the burdens that we're carrying. Lay them down. Don't let them consume us. Give it to Him. Trust Him to take care of the problems. He may not always give us a miracle. He may not always take all of the problems away, but He will help us live through them. If He decides not to take the problems away, but to have us live through them, He will be with us and help us. He will give us the strength, the courage, whatever we need to live through the circumstances and situations that we're going through. And once we come through them, we will be stronger for having lived through those experiences. And He will use them for good. He will use our hurts, our sufferings, our experiences in life, those trials that we come through. He will use those to strengthen us in our faith and then help us to help others. We can serve the Lord by serving others once we've come through those trials. When we see other people who are suffering through things that we have already suffered through, we can offer help and encouragement, not only sympathy, but empathy to them, because we can understand the experience because we've already been there and been through it. It's difficult to sympathize with someone else when we don't know the pains that they have suffered. And they may not want to listen to us, may not be interested in anything we have to say or share with them, because they may say exactly the words, "How do you know what I'm feeling?" Or, "You have no clue. You can't say anything to me because you haven't been there." If we have, we can offer encouragement, and sometimes words are not necessary. Sometimes we just need to be there and be present to keep someone company when they're suffering. Maybe they're grieving the loss, maybe a death of a loved one. Sometimes a person just needs someone to be there, just to know someone is with them. Even though they're not alone, if they're followers of the Lord Jesus is always with them. But sometimes they need a friend, even if the person is only an acquaintance. Sometimes a stranger can be more effective or more comforting, more reassuring than a family member can be. Sometimes they may not want to hear words. They may not be in the mood. They may not want to hear happy songs and praises. But just to have someone to keep them company can mean so much, to be there to share that time with them. When we are grieving, we go through different phases of grief. One of the things that we deal with when we're grieving is anger, sometimes fear. Many times we deal with anger, and that can be very difficult. Sometimes a person can be so angry about the loss that they've suffered that they may be stuck in anger for a considerable length of time before they're even able to grieve for the person that they love whom they've lost. It helps to have one just to listen and not be critical, just to have a shoulder to cry on, somebody to listen to, even if they don't feel like or are unable to cry at the moment. But the Lord gives us scriptures to help us. In the Bible, the Lord tells us in 2 Timothy 2:4 that we should exchange our anger for patience. And regarding fear, he tells us to replace fear with love in 1 John 4:18. Sometimes the words of Scripture can be very comforting to us and very encouraging. And also, going through trials, we can suffer great anxiety, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help. The Lord tells us to give our anxiety to Him, and He will give us peace. He speaks of this in John 16:33. And of course, He always tells us to be anxious for nothing. In Philippians, He tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your petitions known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Are you going through a tough time now? Are you suffering physical illness, mental illness? Are you emotionally distraught over something that's going on in your life or in the life of someone you love? Are you having financial difficulty? Whatever the case may be, I hope you'll turn to the Lord for help. If you don't know Him, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you will call out to Him and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior and help you. He will do that if you ask Him sincerely. The Lord tells us that He will forgive us for anything if we will just ask for forgiveness. He tells us we confess our sins directly to Him. Repent of our sins, ask for forgiveness, and turn away from our sins. To repent means to make a change, to turn around from the things that we've been doing that we know are wrong. Ask God to help us to do that. He knows we cannot do it on our own. But if we do that and are willing to follow Him, invite Him to come into our hearts and be Lord and Savior of our lives, He can change our lives completely, turn it around, give us a new life. Because when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are born again in Him in the Spirit. He forgives us of our sins. He redeems us. Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins and for the sins of the world. So we are valuable to Him. If you're feeling unloved, unwanted, insecure, inferior in any way, know that you are valuable to God. And He wants us to see ourselves as He sees us. I know that's hard to believe because I struggled with that all of my life. All of my life. The Lord says that when we receive Him as Savior, become His followers, we become children of God. He gives us the right to become children of God. He adopts us into His family, and we become heirs with Christ Jesus, heirs to the kingdom of God. I could never understand that. He says He redeems us. The work that Jesus did on the cross, His suffering and death, His resurrection from the dead, willingly suffering for us and willingly laying down His life for us, willingly allowing every last drop of his own precious blood to be shed on the cross for us, to pay the debt for our sins, dying for us and rising again from the dead on the third day. In doing all of that, he paid the debt in full. We can't pay it. We never could. If we could buy our way to heaven, pay our way to heaven by doing good deeds, by suffering in purgatory or anything like that, then Jesus would never have to die. He would never have had to die on the cross. He paid the debt in full. So there's nothing else we have to do. There's nothing else we can do to pay our debt and to get to heaven. It's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. We are saved by grace through faith, by the grace of God through our faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is one with God. And he tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always with us. He will be with us wherever we go. No matter what happens, no matter if we can see him or feel him, because God is spirit. And when we receive him as Savior, we are born again in spirit. And we will be with him in heaven forever when we die. I'd like to read something to you from Joshua. This is the book of Joshua. God gives us strength, energy, and stamina, and courage to do whatever he calls us to do. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along with me. Here, in Joshua chapter 1, where God calls Joshua, he calls Joshua to follow after Moses. Let me read this to you. Lord, I ask you to please help us to understand your holy scriptures and apply them to our daily lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Here in Joshua chapter 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That's Joshua 1:5. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord is telling him that the battle is already won. God has already given him victory. That applies to us today. God tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Remember, that's Joshua 1:5. He tells us when we are his children, when we receive him as Savior, Lord and Master, and ruler of our lives, that he will be with us wherever we go. He will give us victory. I'd like to continue here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place for rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So they agreed to follow Joshua. They had followed Moses. They knew the Lord. They trusted him. They believed him because the Lord kept his word. They knew that the Lord is faithful. Even when we are not faithful, God is faithful. He tells us in the Bible he cannot deny himself. He also tells us that he is not man that he should lie. He is the God-man, he is part man, he is fully man and fully God. But he is not simply a man, he is the God-man. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He cannot lie. And he is holy, so that he cannot look upon sin. So once he forgives our sins, when we confess our sins and forgives him, God forgives our sins and casts them away from us. He says he casts them away from us. As far as the east is from the west, meaning that they will never meet. The east and the west never meet. The north and the south do, but not the east or the west. So he doesn't condemn us. He says he uses all things for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He doesn't condemn us. Many times we condemn ourselves. But he uses all of the things that we go through in life for good, the things that Satan means for evil. God can turn around and use for good. He can bring some good out of it, even when we don't see how that's possible. For example, the things that we have suffered through gives us the ability to comfort someone else who's going through that because we can understand. We have an idea of what they're suffering. We've suffered the same type of pain. He tells us continually, we should have hope. We should hold on to hope. We should put all of our faith, our hope, and our trust in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should not trust ourselves, but we need to trust God. People will always disappoint us because we're only human. And we can hear so many voices that can lead us in the wrong direction because we can listen to the thoughts and opinions of other people. We need to listen to God. We can hear the voices of those other people and the voices of the philosophies of all these men in the world. And we can also be led astray by the voice of Satan. Satan can speak to us as well. And we can be led astray by the voices of our own flesh, our own desires, our own lustful desires. again, because we are mere humans and we are sinners. You may hear the saying many times that people are all people are basically good and inherently good, but God says that we're wicked. Our hearts are wicked. That we are born with sin because of the sin of Adam and Eve. We are all sinful. So we're not born holy. We're born sinful, and sinful and selfish, and we think of ourselves first. And you can see that with little children and their behavior, even 2-year-olds. How selfish are they? Everything is mine, 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 and no, no, no. They're not holy little angels. We are not holy angels. We're basically sinful people, and we're out for ourselves. But at some point, when we come to the end of ourselves, when we fall on our faces, when we fail, when we're disillusioned, hurt, or broken, and don't know which way to turn, there's only one place to go. Many people say, it can't get any worse. I'm at the bottom of a pit. The only way to go is up, so things have to start getting better. When we're at the end of ourselves and broken, the only way to go is to Jesus, to the Lord God. And cursing at him and blaming God for the things that go wrong in our lives is the wrong thing to do. If we're cursing at God, we're cursing the one person who can help us, the one person who really wants to help us. There may be humans who want to help us, but God is the one who has ultimate control. He is the sovereign Lord God, and he doesn't cause all the terrible things to happen in our lives. There's another force at work here. We know that's Satan, the enemy of God, so he's our enemy also. And basically, it's his job to destroy our lives. That's what he's out to do, to destroy the family unit, to destroy marriages, to destroy relationships, destroy children, to cause wreak havoc in our lives, to cause disharmony, conflict. And so when we're fighting with our spouses or having conflicts with our children or other people, when people are doing terrible things to us, it's really the force of evil that's causing all of that. It's Satan, the evil one, the wicked one, the devil, who causes those things to happen. He's the one who puts temptations into our minds. He cannot make us sin. We have our free will. We have to make our choice whether we're going to do what's wrong or do what's right, just as Adam and Eve had free will. They spoke to God face to face, one on one. God walked with them in the Garden of Eden, in paradise. How more blessed could they have been? But they were human. They had free will. God gives each one of us free will, and they made the wrong choices. They listened to Satan's lie. He put temptation in their minds and made them think that God was holding out on them. They chose to believe Satan, that they could have more than God had given them, when they had more than they needed. And they had one-on-one personal relationship, fellowship with the Lord in person. But they were tempted. They gave in to temptation. And so they fell from grace. They sinned. So we are human just as they were. And I remember a time when I was so angry about the things that were going on in my life and the lives of those people whom I love. I was so angry with God for most of my life. And I remember wanting to damn Adam and Eve to hell. Why did they do this? Why did they bring that on us? All of this hell on us here on earth. But I realize that we are just like them. We are human. They were only human. And we have to make our own choices. And I wonder tonight if there's anyone listening who has not made a choice for the Lord, if you would yet do that tonight, whenever you choose. But the sooner the better. None of us know how long we're going to live on this earth. Our number could be up at any moment. Don't wait too long. The Lord says, today is the day of salvation. Even Jesus says that he doesn't know when the end of the world, as we say, will come. Only the Father knows. So we're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's a possibility that some of us will not wake up in the morning. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, I hope you will do that. And I would like to announce that I'm going to have many more people giving their testimonies and talking about their books, authors, pastors, and others who are authors, counselors, one counselor in particular, a Christian counselor who's a licensed marriage and family therapist who will be coming on in the near future to talk about a book that he's written. And I'd like to tell you about, if you have not heard about, Trinity Worldwide Reprographics, a printing company, graphics company, in the city of Cerritos here in California. I'd like to tell you about them, and they have a speakers forum once a month, and you can look them up online. That's Trinity Worldwide Reprographics in Cerritos, California. And you can go to www.trinity3in1.com. That's www.trinity3in1.com. And if you're looking for a church, I recommend Calvary Chapel, one of the affiliates that was established by Pastor Chuck Smith in Orange County. There are so many now around the world, and they have so many missionaries that they are supporting all around the world, taking the gospel message to all the ends of the earth, as the Lord commanded us. In particular, I'd like to recommend First Love Calvary Chapel of Whittier, if you live in the area, Pastor John and Maureen Schaefer. And First Love Calvary Chapel is located at 12817 Hadley Street in Whittier, California, 90601. You can check them out online at www.ccwhittier.org. Services are on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Midweek services are at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And there are many Bible studies and fellowships for men and women and for the children through high school and a college and career age group. And so if you're interested, please check them out. Have a look at their website. Again, that's www.ccwhittier.org. Or you can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/ccwhittier. And I'd like to make a pitch here for Calvary Chapel, Johannesburg. We have one of their members visiting now here in the area. Her name is Claire, a delightful young lady. And one of her goals is to attend Murrieta Bible College in Murrieta, California. Her name is Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, Brayshaw. She's from Calvary Chapel, Johannesburg. And if you would like to support her in any way, you can go to www.ccjohannesburg.com. That's www.ccjohannesburg.com. She serves at Calvary Chapel, Johannesburg. That's in Johannesburg, South Africa. Okay, and I want to announce a phone number for any women and children who may be victims of domestic violence. Looking for help, you can call the Sheepfold. Dial 1-877-SHEEPFOLD. That spells out the word Sheepfold. 1-877-SHEEP-FOLD to ask for help for women and children who are victims of domestic violence. I hope you write the number down in case you don't need it. You may encounter someone in the future who might need help, and you would be able to pass that information along to them. And in the meantime, I want to come back to what the Lord tells us in the Word, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Again, that's in James 1:5. He tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He encourages us. And I mentioned earlier that when I told someone not to give up, that as long as we're breathing, there's hope, we should never give up. This person I'm talking about was someone very close to me, someone I love. Eventually, he did give up, and he took his own life. If you are having thoughts, suicidal thoughts, or if you know someone who's talked about committing suicide, if you think someone's considering that, and again, if you are having such thoughts, I want to encourage you to call out to the Lord. He tells us to have faith in Him. Have faith in Him and trust Him. No matter what's happening, call out on the Lord. He can make a way for you where there is no faith. Where there is no faith. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 through 22, Jesus tells us the following words, because He loves us. Jesus loves you, and you are valuable to Him. If you're feeling unworthy, insecure, if you're feeling unloved, unwanted, neglected, or betrayed, or whatever, know that Jesus is God. He is faithful. He loves you. He loves you, and He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for your needs. And don't get caught up and wanting vengeance, wanting to pay back. Leave that to the Lord. He tells us here in Matthew 21, verses 21 to 22, this says, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Now Jesus had touched a fig tree. He cursed the fig tree, and it shriveled up and died. He did that as one of the signs and wonders He did to teach people certain things. And here He talks about telling a mountain to throw itself in the sea. He's not meaning literally, that the mountain is going to go into the sea on its own. He's talking in metaphors, but He's saying that He will move the obstacles out of our way, the mountainous obstacles, those things. God can make a way for you where there is no way, because He is sovereign. He has all the power, all the control, the ultimate control. Satan, the devil, who causes so many horrible things to happen in our lives, he can only do as much as the Lord will allow him to do. And it's allowed because we are, many people commit murders and rapes and all kinds of horrific crimes because they're abusing their free will. God gave us free will, and some people, unfortunately, some of us choose to use our free will to do things that are wrong and that hurt other people. It isn't God who's doing it, but He gave us free will, and He's going to hold us accountable for how we use our free will for the things that we do. And so here I want to read also in Mark 11:24, the Lord says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. In Luke 11:9, He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And literally that means to ask and keep on asking. Don't just ask once or twice and give up. The Lord is telling us to ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. If you are asking for something that is in line with God's will, if it's something God wants you to have, he will give it to you. Don't give up. Again, remember, he says he will never leave us nor forsake us, and I believe that. And God is faithful, and he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He doesn't desert us. He is faithful. God is always faithful. Whatever we need to come to the Lord in prayer and ask him. He says to make our petitions, our requests known to him, known to God, with all prayer and supplications and thanksgiving. Ask him in prayer, praying for it, asking earnestly for from our hearts. And we can intercede for other people. We can pray intercessory prayers. We're interceding for others, asking God for something on behalf of someone else, and asking, praying over and over again, not repeating one simple prayer over and over and over again, but praying to God from our hearts. And he says to be in prayer always, to pray all day long, whatever we're doing, whether we're driving or working, whatever we're doing. If you're cooking, if you're cleaning, you can pray as you do that for whatever you need throughout the day, for your husband, your wife, for your children, your siblings, whoever and whatever. Pray for the poor, for the homeless. I met a woman on the street today and actually offered her money, and she refused it. She said, oh, no, I'm okay. She was sitting on the ground writing, and I asked her if she would mind sharing me what she was writing. Was she a writer? She said she was writing some documents that she needed to fill out. She lives on the streets. She's lacking so many things that she needs, including dental work. But she hasn't given up hope. She says she knows the Lord. She said she received him as her Savior, and she's trusting in him. Where she's going to sleep tonight, I don't know. I told her about several shelters that she could go to. If you know anyone who needs a place, and if you're in the local area, there is always the Union Rescue Mission in downtown L.A. And you may say, oh, that's Skid Row. I don't want to go there. But there's a wonderful place there that's run by people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who are walking with him, who are serving the Lord and taking care of other people, loving people, welcoming them, doing what they can, taking in as many people as they can. And they have a beautiful place. I haven't seen it, but I hear about it often. Hope Gardens for women and children. They can help you turn your life around. They can help you get into school, get a job. They can help your children, and they will do what they can for women. Of course, they help men as well, but you need to reach out for help. If you know someone who is in need, please tell them about the Union Rescue Mission in downtown L.A. and find out about other missions and shelters in your area so that you can tell people where they can go for help if you can't help them. The Lord tells us to be in fellowship with other people in church and to help others. We're to help strangers too. And nowadays, of course, it can be very dangerous to take a stranger off the street into your home, but you can direct them where they can go, to a church, to a mission, to a shelter, where they can go for help. Or, as I've heard suggested, you can help others by writing to someone who's in the hospital or in prison. Be a pen pal. You can give to the poor, pay your tithes to your church, and give generously donations to help the missionaries and the work that they are doing, taking the good news of the gospel to all the ends of the earth. And doing missionary work could be witnessing to people who just live next door to you or across the street from you. That can be your Jerusalem. Will you tell someone about the Lord Jesus so that they can be saved? Again, the Lord tells us salvation is a free gift. We can't buy it. And we can't get to heaven just by doing good deeds. We need to do good deeds. But that's not how we get to heaven. It's a free gift from God. A free gift. And I'd like to pray Romans 15:13, which says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. So hold on, no matter what's happening in life. Don't give up. Don't let go, because the Lord will not let go of you. If you reach out to him and ask him to be your Savior, he will not let go. He will not desert you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We need to do good works, do good deeds, help other people. That's serving the Lord. And he tells us in Psalm 128, verses 1 through 2, how happy are those who fear the Lord and all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How happy you will be, how rich your life. Then he tells us in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we are supposed to exhibit. That's what we are supposed to share with others after we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's a sign that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He says that others will know that we are Christians by our love. And if you are mourning a debt or anything else in life that you have lost, hear this, that he tells us in Jeremiah 31:13. The Lord says, I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you would, I said earlier what we need to do. Confess our sins, repent of them, ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Trust by faith that he died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins and that he rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. I invite you to pray this short prayer. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to know that you can be with him in heaven, will you pray this short prayer with me now? Dear Lord Jesus, I trust by faith that you are the Son of God and that you are one with God. I trust by faith, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins and that you rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins, understanding that to repent means to make a change. So I ask you to help me turn away from my old ways, my old way of life, and to follow you. I turn away from my sins, and I follow you, Lord Jesus. I choose you today, and I'm asking you to please forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean and make me a new creation in you, Lord Christ Jesus. I want to live for you. Will you please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior? I want to be with you in heaven. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins, that you rose again from the dead, that you live in heaven at the right hand of God, that you are one with God, and that you live in the hearts of those who follow you, and I want to be one of your followers, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you pray that prayer earnestly from your heart, you can know now that you will be with Jesus in heaven when you die. Now what you should do, since you want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. You should read the Bible every day and do what it says. If it's impossible for you to read it every day, you need to read it as often as you can. Try to read it every day. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it now that Jesus is your Savior. His Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Tell other people about Jesus. Tell them how they can be saved. Confess their sins. Call on the name of Jesus. Confess their sins directly to Jesus. Repent of their sins. Ask Jesus to forgive them. Trust by faith that He is God, that Jesus is God, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. So share the good news of the gospel with other people and ask them to share it with others still so that they can be saved. And until next time, I hope that you come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, may God bless you. Join us again Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. This is the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez. Thank you, and may God bless you. Bye for now.
Unanda, 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 unanda.